Peter Burrell, David Jackson, Peter Bardini, and Ken Metz. Board motion 1033, Jerry moved and Gene seconded to call the board members' names before the office, or before the officers during a roll call vote. The motion failed on a voice vote. Board motion 1034. It was moved and seconded to accept the pre-convention business meeting minutes. The point was made that the recess time and reconvening times should be included in the minutes. The convention planning committee's recommendation for a hotel were made irrelevant by so many changes between when the recommendations were sent to the board and the time of the vote. The minutes were passed with the above changes. Okay, open board meetings. This is board motion 1035. After much discussion, Kathy moved to reaffirm the two required open meetings as required by the Constitution and that it is logistically unfeasible to hold open, at least that should be feasible, to hold open conference call minutes. The motion passed. Fundraising. Board motion 1036. It was moved to have a first prize of $500 for the fall sweepstakes. The motion passed. 1037. It was moved to have a live auction after the banquet of the fall convention. The motion passed. Hotel bids. Board motion 1038. Kathy moved. Lena seconded. To rescind the vote. Told spring 2012 convention at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Burlingame. The motion failed in a roll call vote. The no votes were First Vice President Gene Lozano, Treasurer Chris Gray, Jerry Arakawa, David Jackson, Dan Kaiser, Ken Metz, Peter Pardini, and Linda Perrell. The yes votes were Second Vice President Donna Pomeranz, Secretary Gabe Griffith, Immediate Past President Kathy Skivers, Lena Bandy, Foster Brown, Vince Calderon. Board motion 1039. It was moved and seconded to move into executive session for the purpose of discussing legal personnel issues. The motion passed. Motion 1040. Kathy moved that CCB authorize Linda Dardarian and Lanny Feingold to enter litigation against JetBlue Airways for website and kiosk inaccessibility. Chris seconded. The motion passed unanimously. Motion, board motion 1040. Dan moves CCB support litigation against Cinemark if structure negotiations continue to fail. Ken seconded. The motion passed unanimously. 1042. It was moved and seconded to exit executive session. The motion passed unanimously. 1043. It was moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting. The motion passed unanimously. The meeting adjourned at 9:20 a.m. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Griffith, CCB Secretary. Are there any amendments, changes, deletions, et cetera, to the minutes?
Mr. President, I move adoption of the minutes.
Second.
There's a motion and a second for adoption of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Okay, the motion is adopted. We will now go on to June 29th.
Mr. President,
yes.
The record who made the motion and the second.
Chris made the motion, Gene seconded. That's the way I would call it for Gabe's purposes when he's able to take it. Okay. Present at the meeting of June 29th, conference call, were Jeff Tom. First Vice President Gene Lozano, Second Vice President Donna Pomeranz, Secretary Gabe Griffith, Treasurer Chris Gray, Immediate Past President Kathy Skivers, Board Members Jerry Arakawa, Lena Bandy, Vince Calderon, Dave Jackson, Ken Metz, Peter Pardini, and Linda Perrell. Absent, Foster Brown, Dan Kaiser. The main minutes were tabled because not all board members had a chance to review them. They will be reviewed in the meeting. Qualifications, publications, I can't read, committee update. Donna read a proposal from the Publications Committee for Facebook administration, email administration, sending the blind California out on CCB, and more. Out on CD and more. A discussion of the feasibility of changing to CDs and whether it needs to happen at this point or not followed. Board motion 1045 moved that the conversion process for production of the BC be held off until such point, hopefully, that in a year, 18 months, to be able to produce the BC in DAISY and or any related forms to be able to use the NLS players, and that the Publications Committee produce a report of costs included in this proposal. Ken seconded. The motion passed unanimously. Fall 2011 convention update. Gene gave an update on how the convention bids are working with Conference Direct. They've completed a request for proposal, RHP, to be sent out to Conference Direct's database. The RFP has been sent out to 99 hotels. Vehicle Donation Processing Center. Jeff presented information on the amounts we've received from VDPC in recent months. There was a discussion surrounding rescinding the vote taken at the spring 2010 pre-convention board meeting. This is motion 1045. Ken moved to rescind the previous vote to ADS and stay with VDPC. Kathy seconded. The motion passed on a voice vote. 10:46. Chris moved to put VDPC on a 90-day proviso, and that if the payments do not increase, then CCV will move to 8. The motion died for lack of a second. Motion 10:47. Moved to provide the board with monthly financial reports, including a balance sheet and profit and loss statement. Donna seconded. The motion passed unanimously. Announcements. Peter announced great rates through Southwest for flights from San Francisco to San Diego for the fall convention. Board motion 10:48. Several moved and several others seconded to adjourn the meeting. The motion unanimously. The meeting closed at 9:22 p.m. Respectfully submitted. Gabe Griffiths, CCB Secretary. Is there any amendments, deletions, etc.?
Yes, I'd like to. I noticed there was a motion that was passed. There was a lack of a second. I've not remembered seeing minutes that haven't, I mean, motions that had not had a second put into the minutes. Is that something new now?
I certainly have no problem with the minutes reflecting discussions. It's no different than a discussion that occurred. So I certainly, I think actually, I would say it's a good thing that it's in the minutes personally.
Yes. Mr. President?
It says that a motion was made and not seconded, and you usually do not put into minutes. I think the best thing to be would say a discussion was held concerning this. I think not a motion, because when motions aren't seconded, they're not usually put into minutes.
Well, I get respectfully disagree. It's up to the members, how they want to vote on this. But I would say if a person made a motion, then their minutes should reflect that they made that motion. It doesn't seem quite right to me. But I don't know. If you want to make a motion to change, Kathy, you're certainly within your right to do that.
No, I just think that when you look at the way minutes are supposed to be done, you're going to find that they don't get entered if they don't pass. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, it's okay, but it just was a surprise to me because most of the minutes that I mean do not have motions that are never become, they don't really become a motion if they're not seconded.
Well, Kathy, I'll tell you what I will do. Not today, obviously, and not this weekend, but at some point I have to talk to Don Stevens about some things anyway. ACB parliamentarian, I'll quiz him on that. How does
and
that
I'd appreciate
sound?
Letting me know, because I could be wrong.
Okay. Gene,
when I'm wrong, I want to know it.
Okay, Gene wants the floor. He has a comment.
Just as an information item, right or wrong, I have seen in several state agencies' minutes where they have put motions that did not get a second, just as a record for that, in case there's ever an issue, whether it was ever discussed. An attempt to do something about it.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I would just like to add to the minutes. It wasn't to change to CD. It was an addition of CD format. Not change, but addition.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, friendly. Very friendly.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any further comments, questions, amendments, et cetera? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to adopt the minutes as amended, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
You didn't have a first or a second.
Okay. Well, then, Jerry, thank you very much. Gene as well. I'm moving this party along, obviously. Do we have a motion to...
I don't move.
We now have a motion and a second. The motion was by Gene. The second was by whom?
John.
Linda? Lena? Lena. Let's take Lena. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. All right. Let's go to September 20th, 2010 conference call. Present. President Jeff Tom called the meeting to order at 7:34 p.m. Present were Jeff Tom, First Vice President Gene Lozano, Second Vice President Donna Pomeran, Secretary Gabe Griffith, Media Past President Kathy Skivers, Board members Jerry Arakawa, Lena Bandy, Foster Brown, Vince Calderon, Dan Kaiser, David Jackson, Ken Mintz, Peter Pardini, and Linda Perel. Treasurer Chris Gray was absent. Minutes. It was decided that the May, June, and September minutes would be read and discussed at the fall pre-convention meeting in San Diego. Option 10:49. Kathy moved to enter an executive session. Donna seconded. The motion passed unanimously. Board motion 10:50. Gene moved that CC become a plaintiff in the lawsuit against the Golden Gate National Recreation Area and the National Park Service. It was seconded. The motion passed unanimously with two abstentions. I want to make sure that Donna. Thank you.
No, it's Linda.
Oh, Linda. Okay. Thank you, Linda. I was just turning the page. It was moved and seconded to leave executive session. The motion passed unanimously. President's dinner. There was a discussion of who would be hosting the president's dinner and what would be discussed. Jeff said that there are some financial issues that chapters need to be informed of before the end of the year. So Chris will be, that should be Chris Gray, will be presiding. Fundraising. Dan is looking for ideas for external fundraising ideas. and invited anyone with ideas to let him know so they can be researched. He plans to have a fuller report at the next board meeting. Blind Californian formats. So the discussion of formats for the BC will be continued at the pre-convention board meeting. Peter asks about when the convention announcement will be put on the website and the publications committee report can be sent out before the pre-convention board meeting. The announcement will be put on the website as soon as possible and the information for the board packet will try to be by to the board a week before the meeting. The meeting was adjourned at 8:22 p.m. Respectfully, Susan Griffith, CCB Secretary. Okay, do we have any amendments, deletions, whatever?
I move to approve.
There's a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
There's a second. The motion, hold on, Kathy. The motion is by Chris. The second is by Ken. Kathy has a comment.
No, I didn't. I was seconding.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. Oh, Chris was trying to tell me, but I wasn't listening. As usual. Okay. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions. All right. Thank you very much. We'll go now to public comment. I think I lost my agenda. Here we go. Yes. Public comment. Do we have any public comment this time? Okay. We will now go on to item 6, Treasurer's Report. Chris Gray.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, everybody. Since we met in the spring in some of our conference call meetings, I know you'll all be happy and the board has seen the balance sheet reports that were mentioned in one of the minutes. You've had 2 months of that, and I see no reason why that will not continue now on a monthly basis. I think we've got it nailed down to the point where that can be done. You received the balance sheet through September 30th in email about a week or so ago, and it's also in your packets. I don't plan to go over it, but I'll be happy to take any questions if you wish. The second report I want to mention to you is the budget versus actual report, and this is through September 30, so it'll give you a good snapshot of what we're doing. I'll just review the highlight numbers, but to get you on track with it, and if anyone has any difficulty understanding the way it's presented, take the first line under income. And we have it listed. It's 4,000 as we put it on the books. Income from REW and Associates. We projected for 2010 $28,000. Through September, we've taken in $21,250. So we're down there a little bit, $6,750, and we reached 79.89% of our goal. That's how the report works all the way through, and hopefully it's...
Chris, which report is this you're looking at?
Kathy, I'm looking at the...
Profit and loss.
It's titled Profit and Loss / Annual Budget versus September Actual. It really shouldn't say Profit and Loss. I'm sorry about that. It's that's an editing error. So skipping down to the end of income. And I want to remind people that the figures you see for the total, for example, our total income projection for 2010 is $284,850. We should not expect to be at that level at the end of September. The question really is, are we going to be able to get somewhere close to that level in the remaining 3 months of the year? So our projection for the whole year is $284,050. At the end of September, we had brought in $166,478.20. So we've got 58.44% of the way there with about 41 to go. We need to hope we can make it or come close. And that's all I'll say for now about income. We do at the end of the report show you the income on our investments, and while that's very important, it isn't exactly income in the sense of the income that we've generated this year. And we had a good discussion about that on the board list, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. Now, going to our expenses, we projected total expenses for 2010 at $341,287. To date, we have spent $279,459.68. So we're 81, almost 82% away to our total at the end of the year. So that will give you a snapshot of where we're at in terms of income and expenses. And before I go to any questions you may have, I want to ask you to turn your attention to the third final and shortest document that you got. This is a document that many will recall Kathy requested, and I think quite rightly so. It's a very valuable thing for us to look at, and it's a report that outlines every fund transfer that we've had to make from a CCB CD or some financial instrument into our general checking account so that we could meet our obligations for the year. When you look at these numbers, it helps you realize what we need to think about for next year's budget, and it highlights the fact that unfortunately we're spending more than we're making. We sort of all know that, but this report certainly calls it out, and I think it's extremely valuable. So thank you, Kathy, for suggesting that I do this, because it seemed like a really worthwhile exercise. So to tell you what the transfers have been, in 2010, we made a transfer on the 4th of January from our countrywide certificate of deposit of $10,000 into the general checking account. Again, on June 24th of 2010, we transferred $14,877.66 into the general checking, and as a result, that CD has now been fully depleted. The next thing I mention here is a transfer that we made. The board voted to borrow some money from our EEA loan fund. Technically, I suppose you could argue this isn't a transfer in the sense that the others are transfers, but basically my take is that it does indicate a form of indebtedness. It indicates a transfer that goes beyond the money that we make, so I live on this report, and I hope that meets with your approval. The transfer was made on the 19th of May for $20,000. Next, and finally, so far anyway, we had a CD at FISN. The CD was for $100,000. It was invested in an instrument that made money on a monthly basis into CCB's general checking account. That CD ended, the period of the investment ended in June of 2010, and it's a good thing because we did need liquidity for CCB expenses. And on June the 27th of 2010, we transferred $20,000 from that CD into the general checking account. So that the remaining $80,000 or so is waiting for us to decide what to do with it, whether to reinvest part of it, reinvest all of it, whether to leave it liquid. That's a decision that hasn't really yet been discussed between Jeff and myself or us and the board and whatever. So bottom line, so far in 2010, we have transferred $64,877.66 from other financial instruments into the general checking account to pay our bills, in addition to the income that we've taken in that we talked about on the previous report. I would anticipate, and this is purely a guess, so I want you to realize that, but given that we're going to have convention expenses to pay and other expenses to pay, and this is probably the worst time of year for us with regard to a number of our income streams, I think it's fair to suggest that we might be looking at as much as an additional transfer of $25,000 for the remainder of this year, whether we were to do it near the end of the year or at the beginning of 2011, as we did last year, I don't know, and isn't really that important of a detail. But I do think for planning purposes and for everybody's knowledge here, I put the $25,000 figure out there at least to give you a sense of where we're headed. That means it roughly is somewhere between, you know, $85,000 and $100,000 will be spent in 2010 over and above our income. So that's that report, and that concludes the remarks I want to make. If anyone has questions, I'll be happy to take them. And thank you very much, President.
Chris?
Yeah.
I have a question on the balance sheet.
Yeah.
Looking at your accounts payable, what's the makeup of account number 2100? Is that accounts payable other, the amount of $39,028.06?
Mm-hmm. What's the number, Peter?
2100.
2100. Peter, I would say that without our formal records and computer here, I would not be able to tell you each of the items in there, in that specific line item. What I could do is take your question and get an answer on the board list early next week.
That's fine, Chris.
Okay.
Chris?
Yes.
I noticed that 1145 refers to Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, and it's $182,757. I think that should show that that is the new Perry Endowment Fund and not just 1145 with that. That looks like just a brokerage account, and it's not.
That's a good point. Yeah, we can easily rename that, and I'm happy to do it for all future reports. Yeah, I agree with you. It's better to call that out directly.
And I also have some concerns on some of the items that were listed as temporarily restricted and then otherwise restricted. I brought to your attention, and you agreed that the Ellen Murphy Fund is definitely restricted. But on some of the others, I found some that I have questioned. Who determines, how was this made up? Who decided what was restricted, temporarily restricted?
Well, there's a couple ways to address that. One thing I would like to say, Kathy, is some of these have just been categorized this way for a long time. When we were doing the 2008 audit, our auditors had all kinds of questions about this whole temporary restricted, you know, fully restricted, and it's an issue that we need to take up with the auditor and with Ray Chan in the post audit conference, which, because of everybody's terrible schedules, hasn't happened. So what I'm trying to say is I don't think that we may be doing our absolute best job on those classifications, and the auditor wants to review them and have a lengthy discussion about which funds are where, why they are where they are, and the implications are for future audits. Peter?
Chris, my question was raised because I was fearful that the auditor was doing that, and that auditor can't know what is or isn't. We're going to have to tell them. For instance, all the name ones like Sines, Lopez, yeah. Menino, all those, any of them, and the George Boger that were, funds were put into, they were specific to those purposes.
Yes.
And
yeah.
We can't change those. We almost lost the Menino fund once because someone thought we could use it for something else, and we couldn't.
Right.
And many of these aren't. So I think that somehow we have to go through this and look. The only one I think that we, the council itself formed was probably the loan fund. But on all of these others, there's some definite things I saw that are not temporarily restricted and so on.
Well, I'm on the same page with you, Kathy. I totally agree. We didn't put all this on the board list, but Jeff and I passed back and forth between us and the auditor a whole series of notes about these. We had some conversations. I think that we're well on the way to getting it straightened out, but we've got to have this post-audit meeting and straighten out a few things by name and on the books that we've come to agree about, but haven't totally straightened out in terms of how we show them on the books.
I think that you should, too, speak to people who've been around a long time who may know what some of these funds are, unless we want to go back and look at all the minutes and other things and see where they happen, which would take years.
Yeah, it will,
but,
that's true.
It's important because we're going to have new board members.
Yes.
The organization's going to move on, and some people that know about this aren't going to be around probably anywhere. So I think that it's very important that very right quick and immediately we find out which of these things, what these accounts are and where they came from.
Okay. Well, thank you. I agree 100%. Peter?
Basically, the difference between temporarily restricted and permanently restricted is that on the temporarily restricted funds that we have, if we had to, we could spend, I mean, deplete the funds completely. On the permanently restricted funds, we can't do that. So, I mean, I think that's a differentiation.
Right. You can't
basically spend the principal.
You're providing your perspective. That's an accounting perspective.
Yes, right. It is.
It's not about CCB. It's about the
accounting perspective.
Exactly. Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Frederick?
Yes.
First of all, I wanted to say that I was pleased to see that you reflected the CEA funds that were borrowed and transferred.
Thank you.
As the maker of that motion and all that good stuff as far as how we pay it, I was pleased to see it in there. So my first question is, when we pay it back, as previous motion stated, $5,000 within $5,000 each year over a four-year period of time, will that also be reflected at end of year sheet that is given to us as far as, again, money being transferred so that we could show that we are abiding by that motion and paying that back?
Those payments actually begin in
2011, yes.
And they will definitely be shown on the reports. They have to be because there'll be funds expended from our general checking account.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for putting that in there. The other thing I wanted to say is in regards to what folks were stating as far as where the accounts came from and giving more specifics. Is there any way to maybe, you know, put a parentheses and, you know, account used for or this came from? I realize you probably have to have these specific names and numbers for the accounting purposes, but so that we can keep the explanation in there, as Kathy and others have said, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. We need to go through and look at a lot of the names of the accounts and give names that are descriptive enough
right.
that we know what we're talking about.
Okay.
And I would even go one step further. I mean, the board can always ask for this, and while I may not get it to you as fast as you want, sometimes I try and get the board what they want. We could break out these accounts to some extent and show you. You're seeing a lot of accounts in aggregate form here. Underneath a particular number, there might be 10 or 20 other numbers that would spell out exactly what the aggregate number means. And maybe in a few cases we can expand that and do that if the board feels that information is helpful. It's always a balancing act. You know, you can get too much information and just get lost in the sea of numbers. On the other hand, sometimes, as in the case of Peter's question, it's probably too little information because we don't know
right.
off the top of our head what that number really is. And I don't keep it in my head, I can tell you.
Yeah, and my final question is, and I read this a little while back and was skimming it, couldn't find it right now. But is it, how is it reflected related to the web environment? The board previously allocated $5,000, of which we've spent some of, I think a few hundred. And is that carried over into our, you know, treasurer's documents, our financial documents? Because I was looking and I didn't mm-hmm. see anything.
Anything that is part of the budget is going to be reflected in your budget versus actual
right.
report. Now, sometimes you might not see something because it's submerged within a category.
Okay.
But it's definitely there.
Okay.
If we don't expend all that money this year, it will have to be budgeted once again the next year. It isn't automatically carried
correct.
To the next year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. A couple more things, Mr. President, if I might. We made a small error, and I want to draw it to your attention regarding the Sylvian Middleman Scholarship. And bottom line, the Middleman Scholarship is just at $5,970. I apologize for the error. It shouldn't have happened. We've been showing it to you somewhat less because of some confusion over the accounts in FISN. I suppose we don't need a motion for this necessarily, but since we're meeting as a board, it would be a good time. We need to change the investment vehicle for the Sylvia Middleman Scholarship. And if the board would approve moving that amount from $5,970 to $6,000, we could get a pretty nice instrument to reinvest that fund. So
hold on a minute. I don't quite understand. The amount in the settlement fund is actually how much?
$5,970.
And so you're $30 short of being able to put it into a vehicle for $6,000.
Exactly. So nobody.
So what we would be asked to do would be move some $30 from the general fund into one of these special funds?
Yes. It's a very minor thing. I don't know that we even need a motion to do it, but I figure you guys would notice the change, and so I wanted to bring it up and make you fully aware of it.
Well, what crosses my mind is that this is fine. I'm all for getting more as much money as we can get, but then if we're going to transfer it to somebody's special fund, then what happens if some other special funds think we ought to put more in theirs?
Well, that's a good point. I know. If they wanted a lot more, I guess it would be a major issue.
So if we're going to take $30 from the general account to put it into this account, we would need a motion, I think.
Okay.
Would we not? Otherwise, we have somebody sure. Be able to take $30 out of someplace and put it somewhere else, and I don't think that's usually what we do.
I would rather have a motion, to be honest. That's why I brought it up.
Okay. This hasn't been done yet. You're contemplating doing that, or it has been done?
It has not been done.
Okay, so do we have a motion to transfer $30 into the Sylvia Middleman? I don't hear one. Okay, the motion by Gabe. Do we have a second? And second by Chris. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Boy, that was a real show of apathy. I think the motion is carried.
And that Mr. President, concludes my report.
Okay, that is the report. Do we have more questions for Chris? Hearing none, do we have a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
Just one more quick question.
Okay.
A couple of I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but someplace, Chris, we had an account with $277,000 in it. We showed that we got $631,000 in dividends or something, and then suddenly we had $290,000 in the account. I'm not remembering just which account that was, but it didn't tell us how we got from 277 to 290. And when I added 631, it didn't quite do that. So
I think I believe the talking about without finding it at the moment is one of the accounts managed by Daniel Klein.
Yes,
and
it was.
So what you're seeing, the large increase is the amount of money that we made because of increase in the stock market. So you have your interest income, which is the smaller figure, $600 and some dollars. Then you have a rise in the stocks that account is invested in that make up the remainder of the increase.
But when it showed it didn't tell us what made up the increase. It just said that you had 277, whatever it was, 300 something, I think, and then you added this interest, and then you could assume that that was made by an increase, but you had no way of knowing for sure. It was a little bit confusing.
Mm.
I don't think I'm the only one that found that confusing.
That was this is David Jackson. That was the Wells Fargo account?
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the two Wells Fargo accounts, the larger of the two. And unfortunately, Kathy, that's in the monthly statement of accounts, and that is not in the board packet, and I don't have it in front of me. With your permission, I'll look it up when I get home and write a specific note to the board about it. I believe the figure is there.
We need to know how we get to these things and exactly what they are. We can assume, but
right.
When it comes to this stuff, we don't need to make assumptions. We need to know.
Okay, very good. I'll do that.
All right. Let's see. Did the message pass? No. Okay. So there has been a motion and a second. Any further questions? The motion is to accept the treasurer's report. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, thank you. I just wanted to, somehow one of the items got deleted from the agenda, my fault. So tonight, I'll put on there first thing, we will do the ratification of the Coachella Valley Charter. Yes, yes. Gabe was going to catch me, but I caught myself first.
That's what I get for being late.
That's right. So Gabe is here, obviously.
We're not going to do that tonight?
We'll do it tonight. Yeah, we'll do it tonight. It won't take but a couple minutes, and more people will be here, so that's good. Okay. Publications committee report. Some people, it was emailed out, but it wasn't included in the packets. We messed up there. And so some people have not had a chance to read it, so we have a copy of it. I'm going to have Ed read the printed report. I'm going to have Bernice say whatever she would like and make recommendations. I think there may be a motion or two to consider on it. Or maybe not. I don't know. I guess we'll see. And so Ed, take it away, and then Bernice, okay. Follow up.
CCB website. We are pleased to inform you that the fall convention announcement was posted to the website on October 2nd, and the fall convention program was posted to the website on November 19th, 2010, thanks to the web team. October 19th, okay. As you may already know, Joel Isaac has retained as webmaster. Joel has joined his wife in Nova in New York, where she is in nuclear medicine residency program. Our sincere thanks go out to him for his years of tireless volunteer service to CCB. Publications committee report dated June 28, 2010. The board was informed about the creation of a technical operations group that is working out logistics to move forward. In addition to day-to-day web management, this group has been hard at work developing plans for implementation of the Kelly Foundation grant in the most beneficial as well as cost-effective manner for CCB. Among the components they are investigating are backup and storage systems and content management. Storage systems, parenthesis, back end parenthesis, and content management, parenthesis, front end, parenthesis, period. Reviewing web content has brought up the need to map out methods by which information is kept fresh while preserving our history. Plans are moving forward to establish an official CCB Facebook page. Next section is entitled Blaine Californian. The transition of editorship from Mike Keithley to Judy Wilkinson has gone smoothly. Although Mike stated he would no longer serve in the publications committee, parenthesis, after the fall 2010 issue was completed, in parenthesis, Mike said he would continue to produce the cassette master and website versions of the BC. Judy has been putting a great deal of effort into timely content while observing the size restriction, which only affects the cost of the large print format. While there are several articles waiting to be published, members are encouraged to continue submitting their cogent articles for publication in future issues. On September 21st, 2010, the Publications Committee received a copy of the board motion dated 6/29/2010. A copy of this motion is appended at the end of this report. The motion was the CCB board's response to a request that the committee had made to provide the Blaine Californian in two CD formats, one audio and one data/text. While the motion refers to a, quote, conversion, end quote, process, we are only proposing to add formats, not to delete any. Let me take a moment to recap so it is clear which versions are currently being provided. Braille and hard copy, large print hard copy, audio cassette, 3.5-inch floppy disk, email, and on the web, text files, audio files, BRF files, grade 2 Braille, HTML with links from each item to the contents to audio and text files, zip file, which contains text file, BRF, grade 2 Braille files, audio files, MP3, and M3U. The Fall 2010 Final Publications Committee Report, I guess this is a page 2 heading, and large print PDF files. Since the audio version is recorded digitally by RFB&D and converted to analog to make the cassette master, it is a simple matter to also make a master for an audio CD for those members who have been asking for that format. The data CD is becoming the preferred format for those members who receive the floppy disk version because fewer and fewer computers are available with a floppy disk drive. The cost for the CD versions is minimal. I personally purchased 100 Sony blank CDs at Costco for $20. I'm sure they can be found online for less. I did considerable searching for CD mailers, found them for probably $105 for 500 or 21 cents each. We see this as another step toward better better meeting the needs of our members. We're looking forward to adding other formats such as DAISY and NLS in the near future. We have looked into the present state of the art with regard to providing NLS digital player compatible format, one software package that could apparently accomplish the conversion. Eclipse Writer from IRTI is available for $505, but a serious concern that will add up quickly is that APH is currently selling the NLS player cartridges for $12 each. We could, of course, move toward placing a DAISY formatted VC on the web, but to serve the members who do not have computer technology, we would have to provide the cartridges, and we would also need to pay to train someone within CCB to do this conversion or outsource it. Format counts and costs for Winter Braille BC, 175 copies at $937.26. Large print, 500 copies, $1,640.76. Formatting of large print, $105. Cassette tapes, 346 tapes, $173.66. Diskettes, 48 at $25. The total was 1,069 issues. Cost total was $2,881.68. Screen issue of the BC Braille, 175 copies. We were not billed. Large print, 500 copies, $1,640.76. Formatting, $105. Cassette tape issue, 341 copies, $173.66. Diskette, 45 copies, $25. Total for 1,061 issues, $1,944.42. Summer issue, Braille, 170 copies, $829.60. Large print issue, 500 and cost is $1,591.38. Formatting, $105. Cassette tapes, 323 issues, $173.66. Diskette, 48 issues and $25. The total is 1,041 copies, and the cost was $2,764.64. For the fall, Braille, 170 copies, $1,766.86. Represents $937.26 for the spring and $829.60 for the fall. Large print, 500, not billed. Formatting, $105. Cassette, 318 cassettes at $173.66. Disc, 45 discs at $25. It's 1,033 copies at $4,872.96. Current projects. Number one, Seniors with Vision Loss Committee has produced a draft of their new brochure. Number two, reviewing the website content will escalate once procedures are finalized. Number three, Facebook information is being constructed. Passwords were received from President Tom on October 20th, 2010, so the page will go live shortly. We will also be establishing a Twitter account, which will be linked to the Facebook page. Number four, CCB resolution 208A6 appended below is well on its way to being implemented. The document which it mandates is in draft form, also appended below, awaiting board approval. Recommendation. During a committee meeting on May 20th, 2010, considerable discussion took place regarding an issue that was raised concerning how members could learn more about candidates thinking on various issues of importance to persons living with a vision loss, and how could candidate information be shared with the membership, not only for those candidates from the nominating slate, as well as for those candidates wishing to run from the floor. Committee members felt that the President's dinner would be a perfect venue for a, quote, candidates forum, end quote, with a seating area for those who want to attend but do not wish to purchase a meal. We would like to have a combined meeting of the publications and convention committees to determine the logistics for including a candidates forum in our convention format. This is from Dave Griffith, that gives his email address, sent Monday, September 20th, 2010, to Donna Pomerantz. Subject is board motion. Here's the
motion. We don't need that because we already had it in the minutes.
Okay, and that's all that was left was a board motion, I believe.
All right. Bernice?
Okay. I just wanted you to read the draft that's there that pertains to the...
draft certificate based on Resolution 2008-A6. This certificate of appreciation acknowledges parentheses so-and-so in parentheses for your services and assistance to the parentheses California Council of the Blind semicolon or such-and-such chapter of the California Council of the Blind semicolon or such-and-such affiliate of the California Council of the Blind in parentheses period. Please accept our recognition for your good works and kind acts. On our behalf, we express our gratitude for parentheses whatever in parentheses period presented on parentheses date in parentheses period.
That's that resolution.
Okay. So there are a couple of issues that I want to quickly address. One is in back up to the CD version of the Blind Californian. So we put out a survey. The Publications Committee developed a survey, and it was put out on the connection. and out on all the lists. And we received approximately 21 responses. The majority of responses were that they were receiving email, liked receiving email, and they liked the ability to be able to, quote, jump up on the web and download whatever it was that they wanted. there are people who would like to have the NLS/DAISY format on the cartridge. They do not use computers, and their second choice was CD. There was one person who wants to read the, there's two people that want to read the Blind Californian on the Newsline, and they have commented that the way it is on Newsline is very difficult to listen to. They wanted to see what could be done about reformatting the version that's on Newsline. So that's the steps on that. I should ask if there are any questions on that portion of the report. Okay, moving on. I want to all back up another to the other section and say that the team has been working really hard and has been doing a great job, and I look forward to many changes come forward as the group, as we get into other issues that we need to move forward on with respect to the web, and then I'll ask Donna to comment a little more on the web items. Yeah, and then I thought you might like to know the breakdown of the counts for the various lists. The Blind Californian email subscription is now up to 196, and the CCBL since the crash and its reinstatement has, I was told, has increased 15% during this past year, and it now has 78 people on CCBL. And the number of people who receive the California Connection via email is 142. Let's see, was there anything else that I want to point out? I think I wanted to also say that we need to find a new source for the seniors with vision loss new brochure that they're creating, or I should call it, I don't know whether they call it a pamphlet or a brochure, but it's similar in size, it should be called a book, it's similar to Failing Sight and the Family Plight. And the chair of that committee, Bonnie Rennie, has sent me a draft of the document, which I had hoped to review before we came to convention, but it hasn't quite happened yet. So whatever we need to do to try to put some funds in place for that. And I guess that concludes my report.
Okay, one quick thing before we go to questions and other items. Do you still want the board to consider a motion to cease use of floppy disks?
We have never requested that. There are people who want to change from floppy disk to CD.
Okay. I thought somewhere or other, I thought you had said you wanted that.
We are not advocating ceasing anything. That, you know, things are changing in out there. We're just trying to keep up with what's changing and to try to meet the needs, what people are asking for.
I'm not talking about the, you know, discuss. I'm talking about the old.
The floppies.
Floppy disks.
Yeah, no.
How many do we still use of those?
48, I think, 48. Approximately 45, 48 inches.
And, Mr. President, what was stated in the report is that because computers now are not coming with that, that could be an issue. Mm-hmm. So it's just looking into the future.
And thank you, both of you. Okay, other questions?
First, I want to compliment the Publications Committee and the Web Task Force for the extensive work they've been taking. It's obviously been extremely busy.
Yes.
We don't have a Web Task Force, but the fact, I guess, I'm using the correct thing, but advancing our web access.
Mm-hmm.
And entering the social networking. The one thing on the list that I did not hear, and it was just an oversight, was the information that was conveyed to the Publications Committee after our last convention about the formatting of the convention program, which we were hoping to get some guidelines on that so that they could be considered for changing either this one or the future editions of it. And I was wondering if you have anything to report on that.
I don't have anything at this time. This convention program came to us in the old format. It had a significant number of punctuation errors that people have been, especially Elena Thomason, been complaining about, and we tried to fix those. I have not looked. I mean, we spent a lot of time working on them. I have not looked at the final thoroughly on the punctuation to make sure that everything got caught.
I'm referring to the organization.
You're talking about the overall format, yeah.
The input that we got on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and also the feedback we got at the office that was conveyed to the committee.
I never received anything from the office. I was just told that Sunday morning people wanted the old format, and that's what happened.
Part of that also had the office, what was all attached in one document.
I'm not aware of that.
Mr.
document.
President?
Yes, Kathy.
Last year when I was on a call and there was, you know, direction to the hotel, I could hear everything, but most of what Bernie said and what she asked was lost to me. I don't know. Could you hear it, Foster?
Sorry, Kathy.
The conference calls, my point is that conference calls are very difficult for us because you can't hear the people who are speaking.
Yes,
some of the time.
Please try and speak up,
very well,
everybody.
The mic must be near him or something.
The thing brought up, Kathy.
She was echoing, and so was Jean. I couldn't get any of that. I don't expect you to repeat it, but I think that when you have your people come up to make calls again, I think you'll let the people who are going to be on the board talk to you about it. I won't be there. But it is difficult on conference calls. I just think you needed to know that.
Thank you. Yeah, we know. We do know.
Mr. President?
Yes. Jean, were you done with your question to Bernice?
I want
to
make sure. Jean, I will go back and if I received it from the office, I reviewed it. I don't know. I think if it was, it would have been brought to the committee. So I'll have to go back and look and see where that is and make sure that we did what we were supposed to do.
Okay. Jerry.
Madam Chair, I also want to commend the Publications Committee for their tremendous work. But I have a question regarding the NLS format. On the one hand, I applaud the committee's philosophy of trying to add rather than remove any versions that are available. But I can see some real logistical problems with the provision of the cartridges back and forth, just in terms of exchanging the cartridges, returning them to add data.
No, they'll get returned. It's $12 per, which would be $48 a year per member.
And wouldn't anyone who's using NLS or who'd like the NLS be able to use it on cassette, since prior to the cartridges, we've all used NLS players or cassette players?
Well, that wasn't the directive from the board. The directive was to try to provide an NLS / DAISY format. Is Peter Prosha in the room? No. The cassette is still available. There's approximately 350 of those go out each issue.
And I can tell you, Gene Lozano, I'm still one of those that wants a cassette version. That's the effective format for me. That's my preference. And I still have a regular recorder to play them on.
See, Mike Keithley receives from RFBND. By the way, RFBND does not charge us for the recording, as they do in other parts of the country. And he receives the digital recording, and he has personal additional software and equipment where he massages it to create the analog master of the cassette that's sent to Ed in the office, and Ed duplicates them and drops them in the mail.
Well, okay, any other questions?
I just wanted to just add again the whole issue of sending back the cartridge, putting new on it, sending it back to the user, and then this going on at least four times a year. So, you know, I don't know if the committee had a chance to review that from the financial status.
We talked about that. Well, we did from the financial status, and we talked about the fact that, you know, if you receive a publication, do they ask you to return it? I mean, you know, a lot of people like to keep their publications for reference, so I wouldn't. Besides that, when they come back, having been involved with the publication that we use the return mailers, it's a real pain because not everybody returns their mailers, and you know, things get lost in the mail and so on and so forth. But
Mr. President,
yes, this is on the thing. So yeah, go ahead, Chair.
Yes. Bernice is absolutely correct. Most organizations, when they do send it out, do not expect to come back because it would not be the equivalent treatment. Everyone else is able to retain their preferred format. So asking people with audio cassettes or some version of that to return it would not be equal.
Kathy.
Okay, thank you. Kathy?
Yes, I wonder, there will be a motion to accept the Publications Committee report. Does that mean that everything that's in there is accepted? What's on my mind is the business of having a forum in connection with the President's dinner.
I'm sorry, say that again, Kathy.
Well, there are a number of issues covered here. One of them was a recommendation or a suggestion that we have the President's dinner include a forum. And I'm wondering if we accept this report, would it mean that we're adopting everything that's in this report?
No, not.
No, what it is saying, Kathy, is that we're asking for a joint committee to discuss it and figure out how to include it in the overall convention format.
No, we haven't taken up this acceptance of the report. Just means we
received it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It does not mean we have adopted any of the recommendations in that report.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. All those in. We need a motion to accept the report of the committee.
So moved.
To accept the report. There's a motion by Chris and Jerry is a second. So is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Okay, the committee's report is accepted. Does anyone want to discuss anything that is in that report before we go on?
Mr. President?
You can't take any discussion from the floor at this time.
No, it's Lena.
Oh, it's Lena. I'm sorry, Lena. You're so far away, it sounds like someone out in the audience. Man.
Lena's on a distant planet.
Yeah. I'm telling you. That's because you're still in Arkansas, really.
Yeah, I guess so. My question is there anyone in here who gets a floppy disk? Because it doesn't seem computers, at least in the last two or three times I bought a computer, do not contain floppy disks anymore. Do you?
Can you repeat that question?
The question.
Lena, could you repeat it, Jeff?
Yes. Lena's question was, does anybody in this room or their home, Kathy, get a floppy disk version of the BC? And Roger made the answer that he did.
Some of us can't afford new computers.
Right.
Some of us don't want any.
Yeah.
And then the peanut gallery is giving various retorts one side and another.
Because the reason I'm asking is because I'm wondering if it wouldn't be, if it would be in the best interest to not, to actually go ahead and go to data or audio CD if that is the desire, because of the general lack of floppy disks in computers.
Sorry, are you making a motion or just asking a question?
I would like to make a motion to cease the production of the floppy disk format in favor of conversion to a data CD.
Okay.
Okay, if I got it correctly, the motion was, to cease the floppy disk, or cease production of the floppy disk version of the BC and replace it with an audio CD. Was that correct, Lena?
Data CD.
Okay. So cease the production of the floppy disk version of the BC and replace it with a data CD.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to cease production of the floppy disk version and replace it with a data CD version of California. Peter.
No, Ken.
Ken, I'm sorry. I'm all sorts of problems.
I'll have to work at impersonating Peter later, but it's okay. He'll impersonate me as well. I have one problem with this, and that's the fact that I don't know how long CDs are really even going to be used. I'm saying that because everything is going towards SD cards and things, and I think before we should vote to stop the production of one, we need to really get some feel for how long the CD is going to be around, so on and so forth, so that we don't continuously change the types of productions that we're offering folks. I think it was stated just recently, a few minutes ago, that we're using the diskette, floppy disk, and so people are going to be using CDs, other people are going to be using the SD cards, and I think we need to get a better feel for what type of formats we need to really put together to offer our folks the opportunity to read the BC. We've always said that we'll put it in a format that is accessible to them, and those formats are accessible, and some people still have a floppy drive, and I think we need to leave it for the time being.
I have to agree with Ken, and one thing also, you can still purchase the external drives for those CDs, so they're still available, the technology.
You mean what was that, Jen? You can purchase external drives for which?
For the floppy disk. They're still available.
Yeah. I agree with the points that Ken and Gene have both made, but I also have to say, anytime we're talking about this media, whether it's a floppy disk, a CD, or even an SD card, who's to say how much of this is going to really be around, any of it's going to be around 2 to 5 years from now. The computer industry changes so much. We've got SD and SDHC cards and all kinds of things now that weren't available a couple of years ago, and those are even starting to be bigger and replaced probably with micro cards and different things. So, you know, I think any time we start talking about this media, we're going to have a risk that it's going to be obsolete 2 or 3 years away. So, you know, I'm not sure, I guess, whether it's a good idea to change or not, but I think it's something that we need to consider, that no matter what media we're looking at, we have to realize that we could be looking at changing it again before too long anyway, no matter what the current most recent one.
Okay, Donna. Yes, Donna.
Linda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just say a name, and whoever it is, just you talk out.
I didn't do what it was.
I'm looking forward to Ken impersonating me later, too. Okay. What I'd like to throw into this is perhaps what we should do, what consider doing, is think about setting a floor. If the number of people wanting a particular format drops below a certain number, we might want to consider working with those individuals to see what their alternatives are to perhaps eliminate that format as we go along. And I know Roger's going to have that computer for a very long time, and I'm glad he's taking such good care of it that it's continuing to work. But, you know, I'm thinking, do we keep it? Do we keep the fees? We got 45. Do we keep it for 30? Do we keep it for 15? Where do we draw the line? That's my question.
Okay, Jerry. I got that one right.
Yeah, just a very brief comment. I think Roger's comment from the audience was very apropos. As I listened to the data on the from the publications committee, the production for floppy disks is relatively cheap. As a matter of fact, I don't know about other people, but I have a ton of new floppy disks that I bought in bulk, which I'll be glad to give the organization because I don't use them. So, you know, in terms of the actual media, it's fairly cheap. And if there are people who still use it, I think it's relatively low cost and will provide accessibility for folks who have no other usable means of access.
Okay. I will also make a comment. Well, go ahead, David, and I'll make my comment after you.
I think at this point that there's a lot of choice out there. And I think if you keep changing up the we already have a standard for format. We have, I won't name them, I won't take up that time. If you keep changing it all the time, I think people are going to say, I can't keep up. And I think what Jerry said regarding Roger's statement, not everybody has money to go out and buy a computer. So I think we need to really talk about this.
Well, okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Bailey, I think this is a good motion, but I'm not going to vote for it. But I do want to make a few comments that I think are germane to the topic. The reason I'm not going to vote for it is because it's not a recommendation that's come to us from the publication committee. That being said, I heard that great long list of formats and types and all the things the publication committee is doing, and I would like the publications committee to ask itself, are we doing more than is really necessary? I mean, this is a lot of stuff, guys. As far as the expense goes, you know, it doesn't really matter if you buy an external floppy disk drive or an external card reader or an external CD-ROM. They're all well under $50. This is not about money. This is about technology. And at some point, we got to move on. So basically, this is the right motion, but I'd rather see it come from the Publications Committee.
Okay. Well, let me talk first. I'm going to... I would only say that my reason for not supporting this motion is that at this point, I think the numbers of floppy disk users are a little higher than I would like. But I, too, agree with Chris's comments and the spirit of Lena's motion that we're going to have to make some choices pretty soon. I mean, we can't save everybody's formats at some point, and some people are going to have to adjust, like it or not. Yeah, I'll give you a chance to comment, Bruce.
I would like to, well, I can't make a motion, but what I wanted to comment was that I would like to see us not cease the production of the floppy disk, but to offer the data CD, but and that's fine. But again, we're stuck in the realm of computer-oriented versions. And by the way, Chris, all of the options that are available on the web come at the right price, free. So
well said.
And you know, if there are other formats that we could put up there, I'm for it. But I have difficulty with the concept of putting up an NLS/DAISY format for computer people and leave the people who really want it but are not computer users roadkill. And those are the people I'm more concerned about, the people who would like to be able to receive their VC on the audio CD version. And, you know, we have a lot of new members. I know that Silicon Valley has been bringing in a lot of new members. And people who are newly visually impaired, they're not all up to speed with computer issues. And we need to be cognizant also of the fact that seniors need to have some more simple options of accessing the publication. You know, I want to remind the board that there are about 400 people that do not receive publication for one reason or another. And that is my goal, is to try to offer them options that they could handle so that they, you know, could more easily access the Blind Californian.
Okay, thank you, Bernice. Any final discussion from the board? Hearing none. Oh, yeah, we were going to vote. Hearing none. All those in favor of Lena's motion to cease dissemination of the floppy disk version and offer a data CD instead, say aye.
Aye.
It did. It did have a second. Okay, there are some ayes. I heard three, at least. All those opposed?
No.
The motion, abstentions?
Yes.
Okay, with one abstention.
Mr. President.
And the motion is not adopted. Now, I guess I'm going to recognize Chris first and Gene second.
Okay. Microphone. Thank you, Mr. President. I rise for the purposes of making a motion. I understand the hesitation about the new NLS machines, but the reality is that there isn't going to be a blind person in California within a year that doesn't have a new NLS player. And I would like to ask I would like to move that the Publications Committee be requested to bring before this board at the fall board meeting 2011 a plan to provide the Blind Californian in a format readable by the NLS digital players. That's my motion.
Okay, we have a motion. The motion is that the Publications Committee bring to the fall 11, that would be a year from now, board meeting, a plan to make the BC available to those using the new digital NLS players. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, there is a second. Wait a minute, let's comment on his motion, and then Peter can ask his question.
I know people are a little bit freaked out about the price of the cartridges. But you know, if we all think back, there was a time when you had to return your publications and recycle them. We all did that with cassettes for years. That's a possibility. But I don't believe it's a requirement because the NLS players, at least the ones that I've seen, have SD-RAM cards in them. And they're a heck of a lot cheaper than the cartridges.
Okay, Peter had a question first. And then,
Chris, are you talking about the simple machines?
Either one, simpler.
But I'm not sure. My question is, I don't think, for lack of a better term, the simple machines have a USB slot on them.
My wife, I think.
They have to have a cartridge.
Well, it may be that we have to deal with the cartridges, but we have to deal with it.
Yeah. Okay, but nonetheless, his motion still stands. The second still stands because nothing's been withdrawn. So we'll now go on to...
Mine has to wait on.
Gene, okay.
Why wasn't... Gene had called before I did, but...
That's why I gave Gene the mic.
Okay. Gene, did you...
Oh, my thing has to do... It's a totally different...
Okay.
Go ahead, Don.
The other thing that is to be taken into consideration is the creation of the format as well. I think the needs to be taken into consideration that not all, you know, the machines, you know, some machines have to have the cartridge. The other thing is the people power to actually create the format. The other thing is the people power to, if you do decide on doing a return of cartridges and so on and so forth, you know, are we going to have staff take care of that and delete the old stuff and put the new stuff on there? There are a number of things to consider, and I just, you know, like that to be considered as well. Thank you.
Okay.
President?
Any further? I hear David, I believe.
It's just a point of a question of information. I've heard or believe that NLS is going to produce their magazines in digital format with the cartridge. Are they going to ask that patrons return those cards?
They don't ask now.
I don't think we know the answer.
Yeah.
I was told that that was a possibility that they would be looking into, but there's nothing definite yet at this point. But that is something they may be talking about.
Mr. President?
Okay, Ken.
I think all we need to do is go back and look at how many people ever returned the cassettes when they were asked to, and you're going to get the same answer of people who returned the cartridges.
Let me ask a question, Chris. I don't have anything, I don't see anything wrong with your motion, except what is it that you think the Publications Committee is going to be able to tell us that they haven't already told us? I mean, the board could decide to do this today if it wanted to. I mean, not today, but obviously soon if it wanted to. I'm not sure what having them come back with the plan. Do you think things are going to change in a year so that we will have additional information that might make the plan different from the information that was, you know, given to us earlier? That's my question.
Yeah, okay. Jeff, what I think is helpful about this, why I think it's a good exercise, is that to have a specific recommendation. We don't quite know the answer about the cartridges versus the SD cards versus thumb drives for the NLS players. We don't really know what the cost would be and the ramification. We need those things laid out and a specific plan to project what we might do, when we might do it, and how we might do it. And I think that would be very helpful for the 2012 budgeting process. And I just think it's time that we not just think about this transition, but recognize that it's going to have to be made in, you know, not tomorrow, but the fairly near future, because yes, we have cassettes today. We're not going to in 2, 3, 5 years. We want to be ahead of the curve, not behind it.
Mr. President?
Yeah, Kathy?
I'm going to vote no on this motion because we don't know how this will be accepted by people. We certainly want this magazine to be read by as many people as possible. And I think that there's always a problem getting people to return cassettes, and I foresee there's going to be a problem with some of them buying them. Yeah, it doesn't mean a lot to some people and some of us who can buy whatever we want to buy, but anything that costs people and they have to return, I think that has a negative as far as getting things back to us. In the past, when he had to return cassettes, some people just bypassed reading the thing because they didn't get around to sending them back. And I just think that the Publications Committee hasn't had any trouble in thinking of things to bring to us. And I don't know that we need a motion for them to bring it to us. And we'll know a lot more by next year than we seem to know right now. So this motion, I think I'm going to vote no and rely on the Publications Committee to bring us whatever else they're going to ask us to do, because they don't have any trouble asking us to do a lot of things.
All right. Thank you. Anyone who's... I'd like to take people who have not spoken yet on this, if there are others who have not
spoken. Mr. President.
Spoken. Jerry.
I think I plan to support the motion. I think Chris has some good points. It's a potentially huge job to do some research, but I think if nothing more from a budget standpoint, it's useful to find out what we're dealing with. This issue of vision of the BC on cartridge is going to be coming up more and more, I think, and I think we definitely should find out information about maybe return rate NLS has experienced, or as Chris said, the various costs for and whether it's even logistically possible for to provide thumb drives or SD cards. These are things that I think the board should know, at least get a general idea.
Okay. Anyone else? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion that... Well, Gabe, do you want to repeat the motion? It's probably a good idea. Well, I believe the motion is that by the fall 2011 board meeting, or at the fall 2011 board meeting, they're...
Mr. President, just a quick bit of information, the board knows, this is not an indictment or an indictment of a provision of this format. It's just exploring information.
No, you cannot comment, actually. I'm going to rule you out of order.
Okay, I've got a mic here. I'm ready to read the motion if you'd like, Jeff.
Yes.
Okay, that the publication committee be requested to bring before this board at the fall 2011 convention a plan to provide the BC in a format readable, I guess, by the NLS digital players.
Okay. Jerry, I would answer that by saying you could interpret it either way. That motion has the implication, perhaps, that it is an endorsement, but not necessarily. So you could look at that either way.
That's right. We might not.
Yeah.
Mr. President.
Okay. Donna, yeah, quickly.
I wanted to say that I thought that's part of what was contained in the publications report that came forward today. Is it that you detail? Because I thought that's what the committee did today in the report, was give you the cost of the software, the cost of the cartridges, is it that you want more detail? That's, I need clarification before
okay.
I vote.
Okay. Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, they certainly mentioned aspects that would have to be considered, but there are other aspects that they did not mention. And I think having a specific proposal about this for guidance in a year is going to be very helpful to this board.
Okay. Now, this doesn't mean that their proposal couldn't state whether they like it or not. They can certainly say anything they want.
Absolutely.
It's not an issue.
Yeah.
I just needed to clarify.
Right. No, I understand your question. Your question is perfectly legitimate. Okay. Now, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Abstentions? Okay, I think we need a voice roll call vote. I think the ayes have it, but I'm not certain enough. So, Gabe, I'm going to throw to you.
Okay, let's see here. I didn't get a list prepared, so I apologize. I'm going off of guessing or remembering everybody, so if I miss somebody, please speak up. Gene Lozano.
No.
Gene, no. And if somebody could help me keep count, I would appreciate that. Donna Pomerantz.
No.
Donna, no. Gabe, yes. Chris.
Yes.
Chris, yes. Kathy?
No.
Kathy, no. Jerry or...
Yes.
Jerry, yes. Lena?
Yes.
Lena, yes. Is Foster here?
He's on
the phone.
Foster, I'm sorry?
Abstain.
Foster abstains.
From what?
We're not going to get into that. Vince Calderon.
No.
Vince, no. Who am I missing? Dan Kaiser is not here, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Ken Metz?
No.
Ken, no. Dave Jackson?
Yes.
Dave, yes. Peter Pardini?
Yes.
Peter, yes. Linda?
Yes.
Linda, yes. Is there anybody that I missed?
No, I don't vote unless there's a tie. So Gabe, announce the vote.
It's 7 yes, 5 no, 1 abstain.
I'm the Gabe to announce the vote, not you.
I delegated. I asked somebody else to count.
I knew that was a vote too, but I didn't.
It does not count.
Oh, I see. I see.
He ran out of his fingers.
Good point made by the...
And one of those fingers had to be used for reading, so...
Okay, so the motion is carried, and I think that we will now adjourn. We will take up the other items. No, what? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, Gene. I totally forgot. You have a comment,
and I'm not making this
an item to this publication's report. So go ahead.
I'm not going to make this in the form of a motion. It's just a request, and it's not to say that the publications committee has not already brought this to us, but I still think it's alarming, the statistics that Bernice provided us just a few minutes ago, that there's 400 plus people who are not able to access the material at all for whatever reason. And I think we should know, better understand it, and see if they maybe they may have a plan, the publication committee, how to bring that number down. You know, I don't know whether it's because of the complexity of technology or expense, whatever, but I think we all need to revisit it, because I think that is important, especially if the bulk of these people are members of the organization. This is one of their benefits and one way of learning about the organization and what is happening, that I think we need for them to be part and know what's going on. So I would say in a year's time, if publications committee wouldn't mind revisiting this and bring this back with some recommendations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gene. All right, I will now...
motion to accept the publications committee report.
Oh, you know, that's a good idea. As Gabe just mentioned, do we have a motion to accept the report of the publications committee?
I'm just trying to delay
Okay,
Jeff.
Okay, there is a motion. Is there a second? Donna moved, Vin seconded. All any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Thank you for the good work, Bernice, and your committee. And all the other items will be retained until 7 o'clock. And we are in recess until then.